as the coalition government braces itself for a wave of protest over its plans to cut public spending in the spending review. One particular cabinet minister is also facing a coordinated campaign against his plans to spend, and spend big, billions we're talking, on a new high-speed rail link from London to Birmingham. The Transport Secretary, Philip Hammond, spent much of yesterday talking to protesters who just don't want this line to be built at all. So, what exactly is Mr Hammond planning? Well, let's take a look. He's inherited this idea from his Labour predecessor, Lord Adonis, and it is to build a new high-speed rail line, HS2, linking London to Leeds and Manchester via Birmingham. But at this stage, Mr Hammond is only committed to taking the line as far as Birmingham because of, well, what he's calling, quite straightforwardly, financial constraints. Now, the estimated cost for all of this stands at £17 billion. It should all be completed by the year 2025. If the whole project were to go ahead, the cost is to be put around about the £30 billion mark. Now, these trains are expected to travel at 250 miles an hour. They carry, we're told, 145,000 passengers a day on the London to Birmingham section. And campaigners say, well, the train line is actually going to be far more destructive than constructive, chewing through large swathes of the English countryside, including the Chiltern Hills in Buckinghamshire. Also, there is opposition within the government itself. The Europe Minister and Aylesbury MP David Lidington says he's going to vote against the route as planned. But David Cameron has said he really hopes the network is going to be able to breathe economic life in the towns and cities outside the M25. Well, let's talk about this more, because we have one of the campaigners against the route, Hilary Wolf, is with us, and the Transport Secretary himself, Philip Hammond, is with us too. Very warm welcome to the Daily Politics. Let's start off, Helen, with you. The thing is, countries in Europe have benefited from a high-speed rail link for such a long time. We are actually playing catch-up. It's only just about time, actually, that we got the transport service that we deserve in the modern era.
Well, I think that, you know, we were very appreciative of the fact that the Secretary of State came to see us last night. And I think we had three quite strong reactions from that. One was actual disappointment that there were obvious weaknesses in the business case, some of which the Secretary of State actually acknowledged in our debate. But the government still seems very much intent on pressing ahead with the scheme. But the second one was that we did receive some reassurance, we felt, on compensation, that individuals should not have to bear the cost of national important infrastructure projects.
So what is your primary objection is what exactly? Because you have been, from the very highest levels, been accused of NIMBYism.
Well, actually, if one was to look at our website and look at HS2 Action Alliance, we are actually about challenging the business case and that the government should take the right decision, which is we believe that the first position should be, let's understand whether this is actually in the national interest.
And why don't you think it is in the national interest?
We don't think it is because we don't think that the case has yet been proven. And what we are concerned about is that whilst last night we were saying, please let's have a debate about the mitigation factors, what we were concerned about that we were being denied having a debate about the business case, because it was being said we should discuss it in consultation, and our concern in consultation is that government is advocate, judge and jury.
Well, tell us, I mean, we certainly aren't judge and jury on this programme, we want to hear the arguments. Give us a sense of the kind of countryside that this is going to be cutting through.
But that's talking about issues of the route, and yes, it is cutting
through
countryside.
But you're not concerned about issues of the route?
We are concerned about the route, but I'm coming from HS2 Action Alliance. The individual aspects to do with the route, obviously individual action groups are picking up. But what we're concerned is the government must first of all defend that it is in the national interest,
right,
and that the economics do stack up.
OK, well, let's talk to Philip Hammond about this, because there you are. It just, you haven't made the case for this sufficiently. They don't even have to talk about the countryside when arguing this case. It's just not going to be very helpful for the price tag.
Well, I think the case has been made, but what I said last night and the various meetings I was at yesterday is that we are quite prepared to listen to the arguments that people want to make during the consultation process, to deal with the points they raise, and to rebut those points with robust evidence of the business case. We believe that Britain needs to rebalance its economy. We need to get ourselves onto a path of sustainable growth. That means bringing the great northern population centres into the dynamic economy that we already have in London and the South East, and that needs connectivity. We need to be able to get a gateway for those great northern cities to the world, and our gateway with the world is London and London's Heathrow Airport. Mm. We need to connect those cities up together, and a high-speed rail network is the way to do it.
Doesn't Hilary have an excellent point, though? I mean, really, the consultation is all window dressing, because you've got a Prime Minister who says, thumbs up, I love it, it's very important. You've pretty much committed $17 billion at a time of great financial constraint in this country. It's a done deal, so, I mean, it's a pointless exercise to say,
no, let's have
a consultation about something that's been decided.
It's not a pointless exercise. I've said very clearly we will listen to the arguments that are put and we will rebut them, and I believe we will be able to rebut them effectively and vigorously.
So there's nothing that they could say that could change your mind, is that what you're saying?
No, we will look at the points that are raised and we will deal with them, we will answer them, and I believe we have robust arguments to answer them. But look, let me just deal with this £17 billion. It is a lot of money. We won't start spending the serious money until after the next general election. That is after we've got the public finances into order. And Britain does not have an option of saying, because we've had some fiscal problems, we will stop investing in our economic future. We have to invest in transport infrastructure if we are going to be able to stay competitive.
Well, let's just examine that point about being competitive and just whether it is value for money. Mm-hmm. Whether you spend it in 2015 or you spend it now, the value for money question is really bothering some of our viewers. We've got an email here. We're a small island. All our cities are pretty close together compared to other countries. What is the point of spending so much money and effort on a high-speed rail network for the sake of half an hour off an intercity journey? That is from John Miles, an argument I'm sure you have repeated a few times. It is half an hour off that journey, isn't
it? If we were talking about a network that would only go from London to Birmingham, that would be a very valid point to raise. But we're not. We're talking about a network that will go on to Manchester, to South Yorkshire and to Leeds. And when you get to those longer journeys, the journey time saving is much more significant, and it is a step change. It isn't just another railway that goes a little bit faster.
Can't even convince some of your colleagues. I mean, I mentioned David Lidington. I mean, are you quite happy for some of your colleagues to resign over this issue?
I think, look, anybody, when you propose a big piece of national infrastructure like this, there is a national interest in getting it done, and there will be local interests that are affected as well. And the first duty of every Member of Parliament is to represent the local interests of their constituents.
Okay.
The job of government is to balance those local interests against the national interests.
I'm very keen to hear what Marianne Seacart makes of what she's hearing.
Well, the trouble is that you always get very vociferous local protesters. You don't get loads of people who are in favour of such a line or an improvement to the line carrying their placards on the streets as well. So the voices you tend to hear are those of the protesters rather than the supporters.
But I think as this debate gets going, you will hear more from Manchester, from Birmingham, from Leeds, from the great cities of the north about how vitally important this is to them as an economic lifeline. Do you really think
that there is this tidal wave of support for this? The silent majority is saying, yes, we really need this and we need it now.
Well, I think business probably wants it. I'm not that sure about but normal people living in the north. I mean, I just came back from Liverpool a couple of days ago, and it took 2.25 hours. I mean, so you say that we need this connectivity between northern cities and London, but they're not that far away already by train.
And we actually have an excellent network already. And indeed, as I'm sure the Secretary of State knows, we have got facts and figures about how well London is already linked to its top five centres.
I mean, to be fair, he could be on another day. Let me just ask you this. How far, Hilary, are you willing to take this? I mean, we see others like you doing a swampy-like protest and off to
I don't come from that background, no. I'm an economist by trade.
Economists can protest.
From the side of saying what I actually want is the government to take the right decision on this. And I believe that if such a railway as this is actually in the national interest, then I agree it has to go somewhere. But the key question that hasn't yet been answered is it value for money, and is it the best way we should be using
our
money?
Well, if he says yes, it is, and it's game over, then what do you
do? I would like to be invited by the Department for Transport so we can have a dialogue now, before...
but with respect, there are different people out here with different approaches to their objections. Some are expressed very rationally in terms of an economic model, and we will have to deal with their points and deal with them very rationally. But there are a lot of other people out there who, frankly, just don't want it through their backyard.
Can I just ask you a quick question? In this very beautiful part of the country, in the Chilterns, why can't you simply build the railway line alongside the M40, where the countryside has already been
destroyed? The route along the M40 doesn't work because the M40 is not straight enough for a high-speed railway to follow. But we are trying to follow existing transport corridors where possible. Where it goes through Chesham and Amersham, for example, it follows the existing Chiltern line and the A413 road.
So the road is too wonky. I think we've got that. Thank you very much, both of you, for being with us. We have to leave it there. Now, have you picked up your copy of Roads to Recovery, Reducing Congestion Through Shared Ownership? Have you? OK.